recall where we could have just abandoned ship. We'll send their regards, for we never did surrender it. And we'll fake out the doubters with our affection for the feeling that our cause is good and just. We do it 'cause we must. We'll fake out the doubters, all of them, all of them, all of them, in all of us.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford.
It was because of her French poodle I knew she was my style. I took a look at her French poodle, and then she started to smile. We began to talk, and after a while, she introduced herself. I said, I'm so happy meeting your child, 'cause I'm a dog lover myself. I took a hold of her French poodle. The pavement started to rock. I held the leash of her French poodle. By the end of the block, we walked arm in arm. Cupid worked his charm. My dreams were coming true. Yes, we fell in love. I own the poodle too. Myself, I took a hold of her French poodle. The pavement started to rock. I held the leash of her French poodle. And by the end of the block, we walked arm in arm. Cupid worked his charm. My dreams were coming true. Yes, we fell in love. High on the hound dog too.
Let's go back to your childhood, 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 childhood.
Yes, sport comes out. Hugh Stephen from Games today. He has had a nasty cold over the weekend and still has headaches and feels a bit snotty. I don't feel he should be outside with a rougher type of boy, as he's a little delicate. Hoping you will understand, yours sincerely, Nellie Maynard, Mrs.
Give him a nice cold shower.
Chicken and rice, all of those dishes are mighty nice. Gather around, you girls, and listen to me. I want to tell you about my baby's recipe. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. There's a gal named Miss Fanny Brown. She cooks the best gumbo in this town. All of you chicks can really cook, but Fanny Brown's learned something you don't learn in the books. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. 99 times I've tried to eat all those fine fancy cuts of country meat. Just can't eat a single bite. I just don't have the appetite. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. She wouldn't give no one a pudding but me. Yeah, she promised me she wouldn't give no one a pudding but me. But I don't believe her. I'll just have to wait and see. Gonna watch my baby both night and day, so she won't give my pudding away. My baby's pudding is all she owns, so there ain't no meat for Henry Jones. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all. I like my baby's pudding. I like it best of all.
That was Free
Association.
Free
Association.
Free
Association.
Thank you for your participation.
Rick Stockwell.
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. And that does wrap up tonight's free association. Thank you all for playing. You're great at this. I had to cut a couple things out there at the end, but, you know, it's probably for the best. Because now it's time for us to begin tonight's radio obituaries. It's that time each week where we say farewell to those who have passed in recent days. We want to start off by thanking Vince over at themusicsover.com and also reminding you to think about your future and go to feedthepig.org. See how we do here? That is how we do. The initial radio obituary is for Charles Neville, the saxophonist, best known for his work with the Neville Brothers. His sax playing supplied one of the band's sonic signatures, snaking through the title track of the classic 1989 album Yellow Moon and the song Healing Chant. In the 50s, he toured with bands that backed such rhythm and blues stars as Johnny Ace, Jimmy Reed, and B.B. King. Charles Neville just passed away at 79. It's the initial radio obituary with something from the very first album he recorded on right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Shock and move me down here. Shock and move me down here. And if you don't like what the big chief said, you just shock and move me down here. Shock and move me down here. Shock and move me down here. And if you don't like what the big chief said, you just shock and move me down here. Shock and move me down here. Shock and move me down here. If you don't like what the big cheese said, you just shock and move me down here. Hey, my brother, 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 John is gone. Hey, now, brother, 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 John is gone. Well, I remember the morning, remember it well. Brother John is gone. Well, I remember the morning, my brother John.
Hello. gone back home, T90, to the land of the beautiful queen. Gone back home to my baby, going back to New Orleans. On the tip, here come the Neville brothers.
Sing that man, my brother.
Going back home, T90, but never more will I roam. Gonna get my fill of that 8-2-5, cause New Orleans is my home. Is that a jumbo truck? No, that's Big Al coming to put a hood on you. Fish, jambalaya, red beans, and fine praline. Get some love and that gon' satisfy home in New Orleans.
As long as we're thinking about it, happy Jazz Fest, everyone. I hope you've had a chance to watch some of it streaming live online. It's a lot of fun. Not as fun as being there, I'm sure, but fun nevertheless. Post-initial radio obituary is for Mitzi Shore, the American Comedy Club owner. She was the co-founder and owner of the Comedy Store in L.A., starting in 1972. Through the club, she had a huge influence on the careers of up-and-coming comedians for decades, and she also founded the Comedy Channel, no, just Comedy Channel Incorporated in 1982, which did not go on to become Comedy Central. Instead, it was something that she sued HBO for. Long story that I'm not telling now. Mitzi Shore just passed away at 87. It's the post-initial radio obituary right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
And that's where everybody wanted to be. It was Carnegie Hall for a comic. The Comedy Store was number one.
Once you got into the Comedy Store, you were in the big leagues, you know?
I have a theory that the Comedy Store is the center of the universe.
Actually, the longer I was there, the more positive understanding I had that it was just a rat-infested hellhole.
So my first night at the Comedy Store, first time ever on stage in my life, I was a writer. Prior to ever getting up on stage and performing, so I was scared to death and had no stand-up experience at all. And I get up at the Comedy Store in 1973. I came off stage and Mitzi said, you're a writer.
I remember that was 79. I performed after Jimmy Walker. And did very badly. It was a nice evening. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Walker. Now, please welcome Robin Williams.
It's that lovely kind of Death Valley experience, you know.
Well, when I look back, I didn't have really a good act. I remember that night. Because after you do your set, you come over and you are just humble pie. It's, you know, like Oliver. Please. I want some more.
I was in a grocery store, and the headline was how to lose weight without diet or exercise. And I just said to myself, geez, that pretty much leaves disease.
How many of you read the new National Enquirer that came up already? Pretty exciting. The big headlines in the Enquirer this week, you'll all be getting it. I get them at home. How to lose weight without diet or exercise pretty much leaves disease, doesn't it?
For some reason, that sort of crude fashioning of a setup and a punchline got a pretty good laugh.
My jokes were stuff like being, and we were so poor, my father drove a 1974 big wheel, you know. That was a bad act.
And in 78, Mitzi saw me on an amateur night in 78, which was 5 years later, and I came off and I did great, and she said, "You're a writer. Come back another time."
When I first came to the Comedy Store, Mitzi said, "Go work elsewhere." And she was always fair. I used to think it was just me or just a couple guys she didn't like. But she told her son, Pauly Shore, you know, "Go elsewhere until you're ready. Then come back here." And that's what the Comedy Store was.
And I just want to say happy anniversary to my mom who started this place. Okay, come to the stage right now is a female comedian, and she came out here about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. She's the only Japanese comic ever, and she's from all the way from Osaka, Japan, and she's been here, and she's very talented, and she's one of my mom's favorite picks.
As a woman, you know, the belly room was specifically put up there for us because there wasn't any place for us to go. Nobody would let us play.
I'm not a transvestite. I want to get that out of the way now because a lot of people do think I'm a transvestite. And yesterday, I went to the gym, walked into the ladies' locker room. This naked woman hides behind her locker, right? Then she looks at me. She goes, "Oh, sorry, I thought you were a man."
A lot of women that
it's
I know. Feel like that's specifically for them, you know, that if you can get to the belly room, then you might have a shot.
I think Jews have a thing. They can tell other Jews when they see them. Don't you think so? It's a thing that we have. Jew can look at another Jew and tell other Jew. It's a phenomenon. It's just like black people. Black people can pick other black people out of crowd. Jewish people can do the same thing. It's an ethnic thing. Actually, the reason I do have the curl, people always ask me. I live in a fantasy world. I love the 60s. I've always had this big fantasy. If I had my own TV show in the 60s, it would open up with a big theme song. It's Judy's show! And then a big spit curl would come down, and I'd come sliding down the spit curl, hanging on the end, waving. It's Judy's show!
And it's the truth. It's the truth. There is no other space like it anywhere, you know. And I'm really grateful.
I find when I wear gloves, suddenly, dramatically, my hands go up in the air. I'm riding in a parade. It's the Jackie Kennedy syndrome. Hi, let me take you on a tour of the White House. There's the Oval Office, There's where President Lincoln slept. There's my husband Jack with a martini and Marilyn Monroe. Hi, darling. It's so good to see you.
The penultimate radio obituary. Notice that means we skipped Weasel. You know the rules here. The penultimate radio obituary is for Bob Dureau, the American bebop and cool jazz vocalist, also a pianist, composer, songwriter, arranger, and producer. He was best known as the performer and composer of songs from Schoolhouse Rock, the series of TV cartoons appearing on Saturday mornings starting in the 1970s. We all watched it, even if it was later. Not saying that I was later, I'm just saying, you know, some of you could be younger. Anyway. In the early 50s, he played piano at local jazz clubs while in college, until he was hired for an international tour by boxer Sugar Ray Robinson, who interrupted his boxing career to pursue music. But when he returned, he moved to LA and performed in various clubs, including one job where he played sets in between sets by Lenny Bruce. Bob Dureau just passed away at 94. Oh, heck, let's start with some monkey content since we didn't get to any. Well, I think we did get to some. I think there was some in the Free Association, but let's do it now. Because we can. Monkey content in the penultimate radio obituary for Bob Dureau right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
It's a story about a monkey and a king. King Rebop. And his dream. Down in the jungle, he has a dream about flowers and a bird. And he also dreams about a monkey. And he dreams this monkey can play the drums. It seems that the king is broke. He needs dough. And there's a missionary. Well, the monkey heard swing down in Woo-Woo-Loo Ling. He got bit by the beat of it. Hopped upon a hippo's back, and with a grin he went into a dance. Singing sookity-ackity-backy, King Rebop said, "You stop, you ain't exactly on the backbeat. Look at my feet." And then he shuffled up a rhythm, got the monkey going with him. In a minute they were balling the jack in the sand. So the monkey made a coconut tom-tom, found an old drum that belonged to the voodoos. By the middle of the week, every native was speaking about the monkey and his medicine band. He beat licks with his sticks to a record by Bix, till his rhythm was the talk of all the Congo. He had a gnu playing the kazoo, and a jug band rounded out the combo. One day a missionary with a Bible and canary came riding on a donkey through the jungle. King Rebop shouted, "Hey, stop! Pop, I know a way that we can make a bundle." So he told the missionary with a Bible and canary about the monkey and the way he played drums. But he added he'd had a little bit of bad luck, so he'd like to sell a monkey to Frank Buck. "Okay," said the man with the Bible in hand, "if the deal is according to Hoyle, I'll see what you got and pay you a lot if you promise not to boil me in oil." Oil, 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 oil. So he went with the king down to Woo-Woo-Loo-Ling to see it, the big hit, and take a buck on it. But the monk the king kept a-raving about didn't know from nothing at all. It was just another monkey. King Rebop then woke up and found out he'd been a-dreaming and upset cause the little missionary with a Bible and canary said, King, it must have been somebody you ate. So long, man.
When the greenwood laugh with a voice of joy, and the dimpling stream run laughing by, when the air does laugh with a merry wit, and the green hill laughs with the noise of it, and the meadow laughs with lively green, and the grasshopper laughs on the nest we see. When Mary and Susan and Emily with their sweet round mouths sing ha ha he, when the painted birds laugh in the shade where our table with cherries and nuts is spread, come live and be merry and join with me to sing a sweet chorus of ha ha he.
Bigger than himself, and the things he sees are his reality. Drunks in doorways, moons on trees. The dog trots freely through the street, and the things he sees are smaller than himself,
fish on newsprint, ants in holes, chickens in Chinatown windows, their heads a block away. The dog trots freely in the street, and the things he smells, smells something like himself. The dog trots freely in the street, past puddles and babies, cats and cigars, pool rooms and policemen. He doesn't hate cops, he merely has no use for them. And he goes past them, past the dead cows hung up whole in front of the San Francisco meat market. He would rather eat a tender cow than a tough policeman, though either might do. He goes past the Romeo Ravioli Factory, past Koch Tower, past Congressman Doyle. He's afraid of Koch Tower, but he's not afraid of Congressman Doyle. Although, what he hears is very discouraging, very depressing, very absurd. To a sad young dog like himself, to a serious dog like himself. But he has his own free world to live in, his own fleas to eat. He will not be muzzled. Congressman Doyle is just another fire hydrant to him. The dog trots freely in the street and has his own dog's life to live and to think about and to reflect upon, touching and tasting and testing everything, investigating everything without benefit of perjury. A real realist with a real tale to tell, and a real tale to tell it with. A real live barking democratic dog engaged in real free enterprise with something to say about ontology, something to say about reality, and how to see it and how to hear it. With his head cocked sideways at street corners as if he is just about to have his picture taken for Victor Records. Listening for his master's voice and looking like a living question mark into the great gramophone of puzzling existence with its wondrous hollow horn, which always seems just about to spout forth some victorious answer to everything.
Marijuana, kunubu, kunapu, cannabis, konapkina, kanamazo, kanas. Honeb, hinab, henni, hemp, hanif, cannabis indica, cannabis sativa, ganja, ganjika, gangika. Hashisha, hashish, hashash, hashichi, indrasens, kia, insangu, kef, kif, kief, kini.
can't deny that there's something there.
Jazz sounds of Ricky Bates on drums, ladies and gentlemen. Ricky Bates on drums. Come on now. Ricky Bates.
Baby, 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 baby your bed. Pacing up and down the floor.
I can't take it no more. It's been lonely too long.
Baby, say you're coming home.
I'm saying it, I'm singing it, I'm praying it. I know, baby, that I love you so, and I just dream of rolling. Oh, baby, someone said that you were lonely, and I'm coming home to you, baby.
Dark and you want to see, you need some
electricity, electricity.
Flip that switch and what do you get? You get a
electricity, electricity.
Every room can now be lit by using a
electricity, electricity.
Where do you think that it all comes from, this powerful
electricity, electricity?
Through high wires to here it comes, it's bringing a
electricity, electricity.
Every building must be wired to have some
electricity, electricity.
Power plants most all use fire to make some
electricity, electricity.
Burning fuel and making steam, they generate
electricity, electricity.
You turn that generator by any means, you'll be making a
electricity, electricity.
A generator is a machine that contains a powerful magnet that creates a magnetic field. When wires are rotated rapidly through this field, then a current of electricity is produced. Now, if we only had a superhero who could stand there and turn that generator real fast, then we wouldn't need to burn fuel to make
electricity, electricity.
Now, Benjamin Franklin, he was flying that kite he was searching for.
Electricity, electricity.
He knew that it had something to do with lightning, it's all
electricity, electricity.
Rubbing a comb with wool or fur makes a charge of
electricity, static. Electricity.
Stroking your cat to make it purr, you get a charge of
electricity,
static.
Electricity, electricity.
Electricity at rest is called static electricity. Like in the winter when you wear a heavy coat and you get a shock off the doorknob, or you scrape across the carpet and sneak up on your very best friend and zap him in the ear with a shock of
electricity, electricity.
Current flowing fro makes a circuit of
electricity, electricity.
Voltage is the pressure that makes it go, is pushing
electricity, electricity.
Watts will tell you just how much you're using
electricity, electricity.
It's powerful stuff, so watch that plug, it's potent
electricity, electricity.
Everybody gotta have it.
Electricity, electricity.
Play your guitar without
electricity, electricity.
Can't get on the net without
electricity, electricity.
Papa said turn them lights
electricity,
out.
Electricity, electricity.
This stuff costs a lot of money.
Electricity, electricity.
But I guess we're stuck with it.
Electricity, electricity.
One more time.
Electricity. Electricity.
Number 9 will put you on the spot. Number 9 will tie you up in a knot. When you're trying multiplying by 9, you might give it everything you've got and still be stopped. If you don't know some secret way you can check on, you'll break your neck on naughty number 9. Now the first thing to keep in mind when you're multiplying by 9 is that it's 1 less than 10. You see, 9 is the same as 10 minus 1. So you could multiply your number by 10 and then subtract the number from the result, and you'd get the same product as if you'd multiplied by 9 and you knew it. I mean, 8 times 9 is 80 minus 8, and 7 times 9 is 70 minus 7, and 6 times 9 is 60 minus 6. You could use those tricks. With a naughty number 9. Of course, it doesn't hurt to know the table of 9s by memory. It goes like this. 1 times 9 is 9, and 2 times 9 is 18. Mean old number 9. 3 times 9 is 27, and 4 times 9 is 36. 5 times 9 is 45, and 6 times 9 is 54, and 7 times 9 is 63. 8 times 9 is 72, and 9 times 9 is 81, and 10 times 9 is 90. Now the digit sum is always equal to 9. I mean, if you add 2 and 7, the digits, you get 9, the digit sum. That's true of any product of 9. If they don't add up, you've made a mistake. 'Cause you must have some secret way you can check it, or else you'll wreck it with naughty, nasty, mean old number 9.
And the ultimate radio obituary tonight is for Paulette. You've heard me talk about her a million times here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. She was with me. This is the thing I figured out this week when I was saying to myself, boy, it feels like there is a large vacancy in my life now that Paulette is gone. But she lived with me a mere 6 months less than I lived with my parents growing up. That is how long Paulette the Cat lived with me. Of course, full name Paulette P. Purslot. She came to me from the Scratch and Post, an no-kill shelter in Silverton, Ohio. She went everywhere with me. For being a cat who didn't like going anywhere, she didn't care so much about the outdoors. She did not like no ceilings above her head. She liked a sunbeam. She didn't care for windows that much, other than that. But she got around. She actually flew to Albuquerque and from Cincinnati, and that was in the real heavy-duty TSA days, post-9/11. And I was scared to death when I took her to the airport because I knew they were going to make me take her out of the carrier. And she was not the kind of cat you could ever pick up, at least not until that last year or so. And but luckily she was scared to death there. I had visions of her running through the airport, running away, and me chasing her, and TSA getting very upset and pulling guns and stuff. But that didn't happen, thankfully. So, yeah, she moved from Cincinnati to Albuquerque, got to fly. Then she drove with me in the January ferry from Albuquerque to Mendocino when I moved there. That was 24 hours straight in the car through a blizzard over the Sierra Nevadas, even. It was not a good night. But we made it. Then she drove with us from Mendocino to Boston. That was a little more than 24 hours in the car, but we made it. In her later years, she was lucky enough to record with vaudeville star Marshall Frederick Stockwell Jr. You may have heard of him. Paulette P. Persilot just passed away, just shy of 17. It's the ultimate radio obituary. We're going to start with one. This song was like one of my favorites at the time that I got her. And she would have been named this, except she did not have claws. I like to adopt cats that didn't have claws, so they would never end up in outdoor situations, because that's not good for anyone. It's the ultimate radio obituary for Paulette P. Persilot right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Claudette, pretty little pet Claudette, never made me fret Claudette, but she's the prettiest little girl that I've ever met. I get the best love and that I'll ever get from Claudette, pretty little pet Claudette, oh, oh, Claudette. Well, I'm a lucky man, my baby treats me right. And kiss and hold her tight when the day is over, and we're at her front door. And when I kiss her goodnight, I'll holler more, 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 Claudette, pretty little pet Claudette, never make me fret Claudette, but she's the greatest little girl that I've ever met. I get the best love and that I'll ever get from Claudette, oh, pretty little pet Claudette, oh. So happy for the rest of my life when my brand new baby is my brand new wife, Claudette. Pretty little pet Claudette, never made me fret Claudette, but she's the greatest little girl that I've ever met. I get the best love and that I'll ever get from Claudette. Pretty little pet Claudette, oh, oh.
No. Oh.